Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
This morning we're going to be studying that prayer that Paul prayed that the members of the church will be strong. Well, let's talk about this. Paul's writing to those saints in Ephesus. Paul had spent that time, and we studied in Acts of the time he spent in Ephesus, and he has taught so many of them that are Gentiles, that did not have the religious heritage of the Jews or the Gentiles. They're in Ephesus. He wants them to be strong. And so he's writing them, and he wants them to understand what the church is. Look at him in Ephesians chapter 1, 16 through 17. Or beginning in verse 16, when he's praying, he says, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know." He wants them to grasp this concept and to get this idea. And what does He want them to know? The hope of His calling, the riches of His glory, and the inheritance of His saints, and the exceeding greatness of His power. That's a lot to know. How are these Gentiles that did not have the religious heritage, even the Jews that did have that, that's a lot to grasp. That's a lot for us to grasp as well. And we struggle to bring our minds all the way out there to understand just what is God's imagination in His church. What was He thinking when He did this? What would God like to see the church be like? Imagine it, if you can. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, "When you read, you'll understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ." The best way to get the idea of what God's church is like, read what Paul says about that. Let's study this book. Let's think on these things and see, what is that church like? Can my mind reach out that far and grasp what it is that we're telling here? Do we understand it? Do we understand it? If we understood it, we'd be stronger. We would. We wouldn't have trouble thinking, worship would never be a burden if we understood it. We'd find time for the Lord. We'd seek the kingdom first if we understood it. Because it's so wonderful. Think about that. How do you understand that? Well, part of the way is to understand what you are without Christ. If Christ had not grasped that strength, if He had not done that, if He'd gotten away from that cup and hadn't made that sacrifice, He describes to the Gentiles in Ephesus what that's like. He said, without Christ, why? You're dead in trespasses and sins. Walking according to the course of this world. Walking according to the prince of the power of the air, children of disobedience, living in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of the mind, children of wrath, Gentiles in the flesh, the uncircumcision, aliens, strangers, far off, without Christ, without God, without hope. That's what he says in the book of Ephesians to those Gentiles who'd become Christians. If you hadn't been, that's who you were. Now understand this. As a Christian, as a member of God's church, now what are you? Here are the things he says in the book of Ephesians. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Isn't that a difference? Here's the words. Chosen. Holy. Without blemish. Adopted. Accepted. Redeemed. Forgiven. Saved. Sealed. Purchased. Made alive. That's what quickened means. Quickened. And raised up to sit together with Him in heavenly places. God's workmanship. Made nigh. Reconciled. Of the household of God. Fellow citizens in the kingdom. Fellow heirs of the inheritance. Fellow members of the body. Fellow partakers of the promise. Oh, what a difference. Could you imagine that? And imagine that great difference that exists between those two spiritual conditions. And the difference is Christ. The difference is being in Him. Being a Christian. Being a member of His church. That's that great difference that is there. And I'm reminded of that song we sometimes sing. what more can he say than to you he hath said? And yet that's not all Paul has to say about that. Paul talks about this great temple. And to be in God's church is to be a living stone in that great temple. And so he talks about it in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 20. You're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple to the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's what the church is. That's what it's like. That's what it is to be a member of God's church. To be one of those stones in that temple. And then Paul wants to pray for them to be strong. And that image of the temple should be kept in mind. As we come to the conclusion of this doctrinal portion of the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 3, let's see what he says in his prayer. Beginning in chapter 3 and verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father." Why bow your knees? You know, the very word worship is translated, or the root meaning of that word means to bend the knee. It's the acknowledgement of the greatness of God, and bending that knee in humility and in gratitude and in awe and wonder of this Heavenly Father. And it describes this Father. He says, "I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven on earth is named." I used to look at that and say, well, what's that name? What's the name He gave the family on heaven and earth? But I think if you look at that in the Greek, and it's difficult in the Greek, it's a little hard in the English, but it kind of preserves that difficulty in the Greek. But as I've studied on this and meditated on this, I'm convinced that the name we're talking about is family. The reason we're family is because of God. This is the universal Father. He wants us all in His family. Is this just the family of God that constitutes the church? Those who are here and those who are beyond? It could be that. God being the maker of us all, He wants us all to be in His family. And so He's the universal Father to whom Paul is bowing that knee. Certainly this is written to include, in the theme of this book, it's including the Jews and the Gentiles, but you're in that as well. You're part of that whole family. Paul's writing to you here and praying for you as he says this as well. It's the whole family on heaven and earth of which you were named. And here it is, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. We've got a God of grace. We've got a God that loves to give gifts to His children. And He'll grant that to you. You're not going to earn or merit this. He'll just grant it to you. And He's got it in abundance according to the riches of His glory. If you look at the little excerpt in the bulletin about on the track rack and then grab that paper, it talks about the prodigal son that went out there and wasted his substance, and he was found out there with the hogs, and he was ready to eat the husk that the hogs were eating. He thought, why am I doing this? In my Father's house there is bread enough to spare. He thought of those servants in his Father's house, more bread than they could eat. What am I doing here? I will be a servant of my Father. God's house, there's grace enough to spare. There's bounty enough. He's glorious enough. There's riches enough. God is not limited on what He can provide, and He wants to provide that. So in this prayer, He says that He'll grant you according to the riches of His glory. Then here's the heart of that. In verse 3, He'd grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by a Spirit in the inner man. Now that's His prayer. And the rest of us falls from this. Paul's prayer to those Christians in Ephesus is, I want you to be strong. We need to be strong. Don't think you're going to become a Christian and the devil's going to give up on you. You become a Christian, he's going to zero in on you. There's trials in this life. There are those of you here today and those in this congregation that are struggling with the trials of life that have been thrown on you, with family members that are ill or confused or hurt, and you are too. And there's the very trials of this life and just trying to hold everything together and make it work, and it's tough. It's hard. And then there's sin. Oh, come on. Let's go this broad. You're making it hard on yourself, trying to do what's right all the time. You got to give up on a little of that. Come on. This is a broad, easy way here. Look, everybody's going this way. You don't have to struggle with it like that. And the devil's sitting there making that look so fine. How are you going to resist it? How can you stand there and be faithful to God and make those tough decisions that wind up as doing what is right? With all that against you, I'll tell you, you need to pray for strength. And Paul is praying that those Gentiles that he had taught for 3 years in Ephesus, and now he's away from them and he's in prison, but he's thinking about them. And no doubt he's thinking of some of the trials they have in their life, just like every one of us are facing difficulties and trials and challenges. My prayer, I want you to be strong. I'm writing this to you. I want you to understand it. If you understand this, you can be strengthened in the inner man. It's not all about physical strength. This is that moral courage and strength of spirit and soul that is deep within you, that you will say, I shall not be moved. I'll be strong in the Lord. It's through the communication of these things to these Christians that the Holy Spirit can strengthen them and resolve them. And so He wants them to be strong right in the inner man, to be strong. And if we are, verse 17, then Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ was buried and rose again and ascended into heaven. Christ is on the earth through us, but we're His temple. Now, if we'll be a strong temple, Christ can live here through us. Through us. You don't want Christ to have to live in a weak temple. But why would you want to go into a house that's falling down and live there? You wouldn't want to do that. You'd want a strong one. Let's be strong. The stronger we are, the more Christ is going to be able to dwell in our hearts through faith. And so we need to be strong. And then this, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now there's the concept of love. What does the world tell you? Look out for yourself. You better look out for yourself. You better look out for number one. And yet replace that with the idea of love. The very opposite of that. That you're here for God. You're here for others. You're here for your family. You're here for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Rooted and grounded in that. You take an old tree, doesn't have much root, you plant it, and you can go out there and you jerk it right up out of the ground and toss it away. But you let that tree sink its roots down in that soil and around those rocks and get in there tight, and man, you can't budge it. You can't budge it. Be rooted and grounded in that principle of living. It's captured in those words that Paul had told those Ephesians, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. That ye being rooted and grounded in love, now what you're going to be able to do here, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, here it is, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. The love of Christ. How big is that? What temple could we possibly build would be fit habitation for Christ? It could contain His love. That's why you can't imagine it. It passeth knowledge. You won't know about this love if you don't come to the Scriptures. There are things that pass knowledge and that they pass human understanding, except they be revealed to us. And so there's a knowledge of God and His love. You're going to know any other way than to come to His revelation. But I can't say that it's limited to that. Even when you studied all these things, do you still think you've got the full picture? Isn't it that we know a lot of it, but no, it's even more than we know? The love of Christ. That's what I want you to do. You be strong. You let Christ dwell in you and live through you. You be rooted and grounded in this principle of love. If you live a life of love, you better be able to understand the love that Christ has. That's the way He lived. Not for Himself. He lived for us. He lived for His Father. If you do that, you'll have a better grasp of that. And then to be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, I just wonder what to say. What does that mean? Can we grasp that concept to be filled with all the fullness of God? I wonder if the Ephesian Christians understood what Paul said. I know what I've struggled with in this. I know what the fullness of my life is about. And a lot of it has to do with my children. It's a sacrifice. It's hard work raising children. And you just pour your life out to them. And when you see your children grow up and live and make decisions in their life that take moral, spiritual courage and grow, you're fulfilled. You're fulfilled. And that's how God feels about us. The fullness of God is focused on His church. If we'll be strong, God takes great fullness. You remember how the devil was taunting God in the book of Job, and God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Wasn't that God's fullness there? His pride and joy. And that's what we need to be. And we'll be strong. And we'll be rooted in love. And Christ will dwell through us. And we'll get a better understanding of His love. God will be full. We'll give Him that pleasure, that fullness. Imagine this church like that. Was that possible? Was it possible, church at Ephesus, to be that? Could it be possible for that to be this congregation? That say, well, that's us. Not with pride. Just say, that's where we've come. That's where we are. Look what else he said now. Verse 20. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all we ask or think according to the working of His power in us. Oh yes, that can be us. Exceeding abundant. What do you imagine this church would be like? It's like that. It's more than that God can do. It's not a question of can it be. God is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. And then look at this. Verse 21, and to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I'll tell you, we'll come up to all these trials that we face in life, and we will be strong. It will bring God glory. That's what the church is to do. To be that temple. I see these great temples. I haven't seen many of them, but I've seen a few of them. Like that one over in Duke. And they say those temples in Europe are so beautiful and big, and I will sit and if I ever get to see them, I'll marvel at how man could put that together. But well, they say that it was to glorify God, but they glorified themselves in that. If we would be that spiritual temple of God, it will glorify God. Unlike any physical thing we can build on the earth, that spiritual temple of which He speaks will bring God glory. Now, if you know that, If you can grasp that, if you can see that, it'll help you be strong. And that is Paul's prayer. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for strength. You've got a prayer list. You can find it in what we call our directory. Most of us, you even got pictures of us in there. That's what y'all want you to do. You go home and get that directory and you get in your closet. Start turning those pages and look in the faces of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about what you know about them and there are things you don't know. They need your help and they need your prayers, and spend time with that prayer list. Pray for one another. And when you get to my picture, you pray for me. Because I need that strength too. I get discouraged too. I need help too. Because I've done that for you. And every now and then I'll go up in my little room and I'll open that directory, and one by one I'll think of you and pray for you. And we'll do that. We'll help each other be strong. Paul prayed this prayer with the idea that God can do this. And if we will ask, it'll be given unto us more than we ask or think.